Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. The arts community in St. Joseph is looking for that city's most talented people. The Allied Arts Council is hosting a St. Joe's Got Talent contest to benefit the annual Allied Arts Fund campaign. Teresa Fankhauser is the executive director of the Allied Arts Council.
We are getting ready to kick off our Arts Fund Drive, which raises funds for 9 member agencies. And we were looking for new ways to get the public involved and highlight the arts in St. Joseph. And the talented team at KQTV, as well as some of our volunteers, came up with the idea to do a St. Joe's Got Talent competition as a way to raise funds for the Arts Fund. And so we've invited anyone to, as long as you're not a professional artist, to submit your DVD to KQTV to be considered for one of the people, or one of the groups or people who will get to perform at the final show, April the 29th.
So what kind of talent are you looking for?
Oh, wow. Singers, dancers, bands, soloists, magicians, any type of performing art is acceptable.
What kind of quality are you looking for in the DVD or the CD itself?
Something that we can, because what we'll do is we'll put those DVDs and CDs up on the KQTV website, where people will actually get to vote on who they think deserves to be in the talent show. So you want to make it a quality that will give people a good idea of the type of talent you're going to bring to the party.
How did you develop this idea to bring attention to the fund campaign?
Well, we had been looking for new ways of focusing attention on the arts looking to have a better outreach to the general community. And this idea, you know, all of the TV shows, you know, the Dancing with the Stars, the American Idol, America's Got Talent, all of those types of events are very popular right now. And we know that St. Joseph has a lot of talent that even those of us in the arts organizations never see, because they aren't necessarily coming to, sing with the chorus or audition for a play in town. So we thought this would be a great opportunity to meet these people as well as to introduce them to the arts.
Do you have a goal as to how many entries you receive?
You know, we would like to, as this is the first year, we're really flying blind as far as what type of response that we're going to receive. We would like, we'd like to receive 50 to 100 responses, applications submitted this year. That's kind of our tentative, 50 being the low side and 100 being the high side. And then from that, we will select approximately up to 15 acts to perform on stage at Central.
How will the voting work?
KQ2 will put it online on their website, St. Joe Channel, and people will get to vote from the website. And that will, and those votes will determine who actually gets to perform live on the 29th. Then that evening, to determine who the winners are, we will have judges who will determine the Critics' Choice Award. And then we will also have the People's Choice Award, where people can vote for their favorite act by putting money in a jar with that axe name on it. So it'll be a vote with your pocketbook, if you will.
And then that money goes to the Arts Fund campaign?
That is correct. All proceeds from this event will go to benefit the 9 funded agencies in the arts that are part of the Arts Fund.
What are those agencies?
We have the Allied Arts Council, the Creative Arts Production, American Guild of Organists, the Performing Arts Association, Midwest Artists Association, the St. Joseph Symphony, St. Joseph Community Chorus, Rubidoux Resident Theater, and the Performing Arts Association.
How important is this fund to those organizations?
This fund is vitally important. Most of our organizations do a great job of selling tickets, which take and getting people to their events, which covers approximately 50% of their income. So approximately 50% of their income is what we call earned income. The remaining 50%, they have to get through grants, private donations, and sponsorships. And we provide an important percentage of that. We basically provide anywhere from 15 to 20% of their need each year.
The fact that there was the fire, is that why this is being held at Central High School?
That certainly is. Of course, we had planned, we had made all of our arrangements to have the event at Missouri Theater. And, yeah, so the Allied Arts Council, like all of the organizations who use our beloved Missouri Theater, we had to find alternate digs, if you will. I would encourage everyone to participate, come down and see the show or enter, if you have, someone, I got an email the other day, or just today, and said, what is the age limit? How young can you be? There is no age limit. We specifically wanted this to be open for both children and for adults to participate.
Okay. And how long will the Arts Fund campaign be running?
The Arts Fund campaign runs through April, through the month of April. That's when the official campaign concludes. This year's goal is to raise $200,000.
Allied Arts Council Executive Director Teresa Fankhauser says the council is accepting entries through April 8th. More information, including the rules and an entry form, is available at stjoechannel.com or at stjoearts.org. St. Joseph Symphony will be in concert this Saturday. Rico McNeela is the director of the symphony. He says this program will be a dramatic one.
One thing to keep in mind about this is probably all your listeners know that there was a fire in the Missouri Theater recently, and we will not be performing in the theater. We're going to be at the high school, Central High School here in St. Joseph. The concert will start at 7:30, but as I say, it's going to be at the high school and not at the Missouri Theater. But back to the program, it's really extremely dramatic and very, very expressive. I chose this music because all of it has a great flair and excitement.
So tell me some of the pieces that we'll be hearing.
Well, we're going to start with the overture to La Forza del Destino, or The Power of Fate. This is an opera by Giuseppe Verdi, and it is a wild, tragic opera with a relatively improbable plot, but the music is wonderfully dynamic and powerful, and it's a great way to start the program. The second thing on the program is the Fantasy for a Nobleman by Joaquin Rodrigo. Now, Rodrigo is best known for his Concerto of Aranjuez for guitar. This is a piece he wrote a few years later for the great Spanish guitarist Andres Segovia. And our soloist is going to be Anthony Glythe, a native of St. Joseph and a magnificent guitarist. The last piece on the program is the Death and Transfiguration by Richard Strauss. brilliant and beautiful expressive tone poem that features a full and brilliant orchestration.
You do have the guest soloist, Anthony Gleiss. What can you tell me about him and what he has done?
Anthony has a spectacular career going. He has done everything from perform for the Pope at the Vatican to record jazz and rock and maintain a career as a classical guitarist. He teaches both here at Missouri Western and in several other schools throughout the region. He is one of the most vibrant and exciting musicians I know. He's going to be a great, great soloist for us.
Was this a difficult program to put together, to find, you know, a translation of life and death?
Well, not really. You know, when you think about opera, opera is always dramatic. And I wanted to do the tone poem Death and Transfiguration because it's really the smallest of the great Strauss tone poems, but it's still big enough that it has that broad scope that all of them share. The Fantasy for a Nobleman, that was actually Anthony's choice. I actually suggested the Concerto of Aranjuez, and he thought it might be more interesting for our audiences to hear another piece by Rodrigo, equally beautiful but less familiar.
Earlier you mentioned that the performance has been moved from the Missouri Theater to Central High School. Did the orchestra have to make any adjustments to make this move?
I have a feeling where it's going to be a pretty good fit for us. It's a beautiful hall. It's about the same number of seats as the Missouri Theater. It has a balcony, and it has a very large stage area. The only thing that might be a little different is it's possible you might see us using lights on the music stands for those players that are out beyond the proscenium arch of the stage, because I don't think we're going to have quite the amount of light that we're accustomed to out there. But it looks like it's going to be a pretty easy transition for us.
That was music director for the St. Joseph Symphony, Rico McNeela. He says Saturday's concert begins at 7:30 in the Central High School Theater. Tickets are available online at the Symphony website, stjosephsymphony.org. Saint must be spelled out in that address. Tickets will also be available at the door. Thursday, April 7th will be the last opportunity to enjoy the First Thursday Noontime Concert Series in St. Joseph this season. The season comes to a close with a performance by voice faculty and students from Missouri Western State University. Dr. David Benz is the director of choral studies at the university.
Jerry Anderson, the director of music at the Presbyterian Church who oversees this recital series, invited both faculty and students to sing for this recital. And so it will include three of the faculty, myself and Dr. Susan Carter, the director of voice studies at the university, and also Dr. Roger Hale, our director of choral education program. And then some of the students, for example, we had one of our freshmen young ladies, Adrienne Collins. She won the National Association of Teachers of Singing competition in Kansas City. She'll be performing, and Lauren Robbins, another local young lady, she took third in that competition, and she'll be singing as well. And I think they'll actually be doing literature from the competition. And some of the other students, Kyle Minks, a junior voice major, and Sarah Waters, some of the kids who were recently in the musical Phantom that we presented that went over so well. Some of the lead role people will be singing in the recital as well.
Will everybody be performing solos?
No. Some of us, myself, for example, I'm going to do a duet with one of my voice students, Sarah Waters. We're going to do a Henry Purcell piece called My Dearest, My Fairest. And I know a couple of other of the duets are going to be done as well. One, I think, from Marriage of Figaro. So it'd be solos and duets.
How did you develop this program?
Well, we just spoke to some of our students who we felt had been doing some really good performing and had been very active on stage this year, and that, you know, we wanted the community to have the opportunity to see what they were accomplishing. So that was the primary way of selecting students for it.
Were the students excited when they were approached to do this?
They love to perform, yeah. They all share that love of performance and love of singing, and that's a wonderful characteristic in them that I really appreciate. And so, and of course, it wasn't a pressure for them at all, because, you know, all their music is already learned and ready to present. In fact, most of them have already presented the music, so it's very easy for them to do.
As director of choral studies at the university there, it must be kind of rewarding to see your students in front of the public and to see the reaction of the people who come to see this concert.
Well, I do appreciate, and of course, in my own background, even though I've worked with the ensembles, I was a voice performance major who even in my background, won the National Association of Teachers of Singing competition at the advanced level. So solo singing and ensemble singing take a very equal weight in my work, and it is wonderful to see the kids do both individually as well as in their ensembles.
Do you think one selection or one performance may stand out for the audience on that Thursday?
I think several will stand out. They'll be amazed at what the kids are doing. So every time a kid walks on stage, I think they'll be amazed. Yeah, every one of them will stand out.
Dr. David Benz says the first Thursday noontime concert will be April 7th, beginning at 10 minutes after 12 at the First Presbyterian Church at 7th and Jewell Streets in downtown St. Joseph. Those attending are invited to enjoy their lunch during the 35-minute performance. The First Thursday Noontime Concert Series will be on hiatus until September.
In the annals of American literature, the Western story has captivated readers for about 200 years, starting with James Fenimore Cooper in his pattern frontiersman, Natty Bumppo. With the popularity of movies, scriptwriters exploited what critics call the myth of the West. The Great Train Robbery, 1903, was the first Western. I suppose Owen Wister's novel, The Virginian, published in 1902 and adapted to film in 1929, is a high watermark for the Western. Who could forget the Virginian, played by tall in the saddle, Gary Cooper, backing down the villain in a local bar, looking the evildoer in the eye and saying, "When you say that, partner, smile." Up to the mid-1960s, the Western ruled the screen, and Westerns were by far the most popular of all the TV audiences of the 50s and 60s. Then something happened in the 1960s. Youth culture and revolutionary ethos of the time made the humble Western too simplistic. Today we see a few made-for-TV odors on cable TV and the occasional big-screen production like 310 to Yuma. Like most popular storylines, the Western lends itself to satire and burlesque, as in Blazing Saddles a few years ago. The rules of the game in burlesque are to humorously connect a version from the source and then maybe reverse it. So here's the latest Western spoof, Rango, an animated film with Johnny Depp voicing the title character. Rango, sounds a little like Rambo, is a chameleon and a particularly ugly one. His cage falls off a truck in the desert, and after some adventures, he arrives in the town of Dirt. Dirt is currently without a sheriff. Rango decides to stick around, take on the job, and lies copiously about how tough he is. He lucks out in a couple of incidents with the bad guys, and the Dirt people proclaim him sheriff. But hard times are coming for Dirt and Rango. Dirt, it seems, has a water problem. The citizens exist on cactus juice. Eventually, we find that some bad guys have diverted Dirk's Water to sell in Las Vegas. A little contemporary relevance there. And Rango gets credit for bringing it home. He's a hero, and if you don't want to believe it, just ask him. Can success spoil Rango? You betcha. Rango's egotism catches up with him. The bad guy brings in Rattlesnake Jack, a gunslinger snaker. Poor Rango knows he's outclassed and slinks out of town disgraced. We get some moral lessons here about dangers of the boasting and lying about accomplishments. Rango has to reconstruct himself and use his brain instead of his mouth. Rango is a spoof of Westerns, but it's a loving and respectful one. There are fast draw shootouts in the street. There are visual allusions to the great Western, as in Shane and High Moon. When Rango is disgraced, he goes on a spirit quest in a desert. There he meets the spirit of the West, who just happens to be a CGI version of the man with no name from the spaghetti Westerns, and he's a spitting image of a young Clint Eastwood. The spirit tells him, no man can outrun his own story. And I guess that's sort of a version of the Western maxim, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. I enjoyed Rango. It pokes fun at Western conventions without being disrespectful. It has a littering script and develops an interesting idea. I give it 3.5 stars out of 5, and hey, I'll even throw in a large popcorn.
That was KXCV KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website, kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.